Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to In the Studio. This is your host, Linus, and my co-host, Brenda's on the line with us. Go ahead, Brenda.
Hi, everybody.
We're so glad for you to join us today, and hope your week is going well. Before we begin, Brenda wanted to give a quick announcement. Brenda, one about your show and then also about how we do readings.
Okay, let me first talk about the readings real quickly. When people call in, just so you understand that we're reading off impressions that come from you, the energy and information from you. So if you call and you're really ambiguous and you just like, just tell me anything, I don't care, that's probably going to actually skew everything. And if we're not getting anything off of you, understand that we're not getting it off of you. So we're not likely to continue on if you can't be specific. If you want to know about your love life, what is it you want to know? If you want to know about your life or your job, you know, be a little more directive. That will help give you a better reading. I mean, and this is the kind of thing that you find anytime somebody is psychically connecting to you. People who psychically connect to others or mediums, They bring up a lot of information, and you don't want everything that we bring up on the radio. So let's just be directive. If you can't be, then we're probably going to move on to somebody who really does want some help. Okay, that being said, is there something else that I missed there, Leonard?
Well, and announce your show every Monday at 9 a.m.
Well, actually, I'll go ahead and I have a show, ladies and gentlemen, it's called BYO Brilliance, Bring Your Own Brilliance, and that show is actually on Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Daylight Time, and that would be noon Eastern Daylight Time, or somewhere in the evening time if you're over in Europe. And we talk about the brilliance that we all start out with and ways to foster it, ways to connect with it. And we do conduct some interviews or feature different people who share their aspects of brilliance or what they understand it and you know, how they're manifesting it in their life. So hopefully you can pop in there and give us a call. And if you don't feel like you have brilliance in your life, then call in and we'll discuss that and break down what really is going on with you, and because all of us have it. So that's it. It's Tuesday at 9 a.m., and just look up BYO Brilliance.
Very good. Thank you, Brenda. And that phone number today is 646-727-2914. That's 646-727-2914. If you would like a more in-depth reading from a half an hour to an hour or 2 hours, you can find me on my website at theessenceofsuccess.com. Theessenceofsuccess.com. Click in on intuitive reading and it'll take you from there. Okay, and again, thank you everyone for being with us today. Well, our first caller, Brenda, is area code 310. Area code 310, you're on the line with Linus and Brenda. Who's this?
Hi, my name is Alicia.
Hi, Alicia.
Hello.
How are you doing today?
You know, my day started off kind of bad, but, you know, it turned out pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Well, what can we – I can tell you must have had a headache earlier, so your headache is gone. What can we do for you?
Were you talking to me about a headache?
Yes. Because while you
I had a headache for 3 days, yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's why I said you've had a headache. Yeah. That's because stressing and worrying.
Well,
but anyway,
ask
me your question. Ask Brenda and I your
question. My question is, I have been interviewing for jobs left and right, and I had an interview yesterday with two operations managers for this real estate investment firm, and I believe they went well. It's very hard to tell out here in L.A., and he said he was going to pick two people to bring back to meet the owner. And I was wondering if I'm going to be part of those two, because my situation is I'm in a homeless shelter right now with my son, and I'm trying to get out of there because it's not the place for us. And we're being profiled and emotionally abused. And what you can think of that happens in a homeless shelter, it does.
Oh. Well, the thing that hits me right now is the operational, what's connected to that operational. So I believe you're going to be called back because that one's really bonging. That, you just had that one interview yesterday, right, with the operational?
I had two. I started out with one guy, and he pulled me in with the other guy.
Yeah. Well, at least for me, the impression that's really bonging, and that's kind of how things come for me. The operational is like really, really standing out. So there's something that's getting ready to come out of that. I don't know if they're actually going to pick you for this or if they're actually thinking you would be really good somewhere else. But they're definitely discussing you.
Okay. Yeah, because, you know, I told them, being, you know, I'm familiar with their management companies of their assets. And I said, I'm familiar with what the systems they use. And I said, if I was working for you guys, I would literally ask for a password and be able to provide those real-time documents that you need and nothing doctored up. You know, I would say everything you need, I'd be able to obtain those. I have access to their system. That's because I know all their systems.
Yeah.
Elisa, I want to tell you, in 2 to 3 days, a miracle is going to happen in your life. And Brenda is correct. You're going to get that job. I can feel that in my stomach, and it's a soothing, echoing feeling. So you are going to get the job, but a miracle will occur in 2 to 3 days in your life.
You know, I should have been praying for him, because I tell you, I have been to the point where I've had a little breakdown the way these people have been treating me and my son, and my son has special needs. And I pray over him every night because he has Crohn's, and, you know, we have to eat what they want us to eat. And when we have to eat, when they tell us to eat, my son is all usually on a special diet, and he's been off his diet for almost a month.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, somebody's going to step up to the plate and take you in and take you out of that shelter.
Okay.
Yeah, he's going to take you and your son in. And with that, you've already did one step, so God's going to make two. You're going to get that job. But you'll be somewhere where you can be comfortable going to work and come back home until you get into your own place. But it won't be in that shelter.
Okay.
I know that you're rough. Do you have a card or something to send to them, or at least drop back by there and just say thank you for the interview?
I was going to send a thank you email and last night, and they were locking the rooms up and telling us when we can go back in our rooms and telling us when and where we can shower. And I know I volunteer for a nonprofit while I'm looking for jobs, and that was so busy today. So I'm going to be sure when I get in, I'm going to send them a thank you email.
And try to bring up some of the things that you all talked about personally. So,
yes, I will.
Yeah, and just say, and it's real important to say, I really appreciate the time that you took to interview me, And I really do hope that you find the best person for the position.
Yeah.
We all know who that is, but just say that. Don't say,
okay,
I know it's me. Just say, I hope you find the best person for the position.
Yeah.
Either way, it's like the best person is going to get it. It should be you. The only way I could see you not getting that job is something is even more incredible, because, yeah, your payback's coming. You do understand that. That's what Lena's telling you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hold on, sweetie.
Hold on. A little while longer, not long. Just hold on.
Yeah.
Just a little while longer. Very shortly, your life will change for the better. Your prayers have not went unanswered. Things just had to get in place to unfold to help you.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes,
yeah.
I lost everything material I own. And I'm like, okay, God, you must have did this for a reason.
Yeah.
I
can tell you stories about this.
I have never resulted in riding the bus and the train. I rode the train and the train because I wanted to, but not because it's a necessity. I mean, he's busted me down to, like, bare clothes on my back.
Yeah.
Well, maybe it could be that for you to look at the humble side and you to be humble when things happen.
Oh, yeah. I'm very humble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be good. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
Better in your life, and I'm sorry. And I was while Brenda was talking to you, they're going through this, but your life is going to change. Blessings are, and it's overflowing. Okay.
All right. Thank you. Okay.
You're most welcome. Wishing you the very best. God bless you.
Thank you so much. God bless you both too in your show.
Okay.
Thank you, Lisa.
Area code
5. She's definitely operational. It's definitely where she's supposed to be.
Brenda?
What did you say?
Area code 513, you're on the air with Linus and Brenda.
Hello?
Yes. Could you speak closer into the phone? We can barely hear you.
Okay, what about
me? A little better. And your name?
It's Zania.
I can't hear you. Honey, you're so far away, it's like a little bitty voice. Can you put your mouth up to the phone? Are you unable to talk normally?
Okay, it's Zania.
Now I can hear you. Okay, and say your name or spell your name for me.
It's Zania, S-O-N-N-I-A.
Okay.
Okay, Zania.
How are you today? I'm fine. How are you guys?
We're doing great. I feel like you're hiding something. But anyway, go ahead. What do you want to ask?
Okay, so I'm hiding something, right? What is that?
I just have a feeling that you're hiding something.
It's evasiveness.
Something delayed.
It's evasiveness, Tonia.
Evasiveness?
Yeah.
Yeah, what is that?
That means there's something, like you want... It's almost like when you know you have a secret you want to tell your girlfriends, but you know you shouldn't, or you just can't at the moment. So we can feel that expectancy. I can feel it. So it's interesting. Lennis has said it, but there's something. And I don't know if you're just bursting with something you want to know, or if you're just like you're really suspicious of something. But it's
right.
Like...
She's got a problem with... You have a problem with a girlfriend, don't you, with another woman?
No.
Am I correct?
No, not at this moment. Not that I am going something with my oldest daughter.
That's
okay.
A female.
Right.
She is a woman, right? What did
right,
I
that's
say?
That's only one.
Okay.
Okay.
Ma'am, what's your daughter's name? Sonia, what's your daughter's name, Sonia?
I don't know if I want to say her name over the air.
Yeah,
Well, what do you want to know
about?
Just
give the first initial.
It's an I.
Okay.
What do you want to know about your daughter?
I don't really have any questions concerning her, really.
Okay.
We are going through some issues. She is a teenager, so.
Okay, well, you were saying your daughter. What's the question you want us to answer?
Oh, well, I was just, I have received a reading a couple of weeks ago, and I just was calling in for a reading. But it hit me when you said evasive, and I was hiding something, or maybe I was feeling suspicious about certain things. I'm at a time in my life where I don't know exactly what to do as far as my situation. So I was just really calling in and get a reading on maybe the things that I was thinking of, maybe that should be the avenue I should take.
Okay, let me tell you what I'm picking up because you're not being specific enough. What I'm picking up right now is that you do have a problem with a female. You say you don't, or not at this time, or maybe it's your daughter. But I see because of that problem, it's also affecting your relationship with a man or with a girlfriend because of your daughter. It's almost like you're hiding her behavior than to face it head on and confront her about her behavior. As a person, I can feel that she's a lovely girl, but her behavior drives you crazy. And so because of that, you enable her in some things, which is causing a conflict for you in your personal life, in your relationship with men and women. You see how this situation is snowballing into other areas of your life? It's not you and your daughter. It's affecting other things.
Right.
Now, that's what I'm picking up. Okay,
you're also,
go ahead, Brenda.
No, go ahead, Sonia.
Okay, and as the enabling, I get that because our family is basically built off of, regardless of what anyone would do, forgiveness would be the ultimate goal in any situation. The problem I'm having with that is it's hard for a person to learn from their mistakes. So, like, tough love wouldn't be relevant. It would be more like understanding. That's probably what's driving me crazy. Because the more her behavior persists, there's really no consequences behind it.
When you're talking about your family, Sonia, are you talking about your parents and the way you were raised, or are you talking about the household that you live in, just your immediate family, like with your partner, your...
I'm more closer with my husband's side of the family.
Right. And so that's the way that they operate?
Right. Right.
Okay.
Right.
So, and now I'm starting to understand why you're talking in such a staccato tone. It's almost like you're sort of trying to talk, but you almost feel like you have to be very careful not to talk. And I'm not quite sure who else might be listening, but I agree somebody else could hear and make connections, and then there'd be a problem. So you're almost locked up, just like Lena said, because you're not being true to your own feelings and your own convictions. This is your daughter. Forgiveness, just on the from a psychological perspective, you can forgive people, but that doesn't mean that you resolve things by just giving them a free pass.
Right.
And to me, tough love, which that's the kind of therapist I am, here's the truth. Here's what's happened. Now, here are the options. Now, which one of these options do you think is going to be best for you, my child, or for our family? And it's like, what would you feel if I was doing this to you? You know, all this stuff comes into play, but the main thing you need to be true to is what your job is as a parent, really, is not to just let someone run roughshod and do whatever they want. You're guiding them so that they can move on in life and be independent and live a better quality of life. That doesn't mean that you just let them do whatever. And forgiveness is about forgiving somebody what they've done, as in I'm not going to hate you or not love you or be nasty to you just because of it, but you still need to pay the consequences for your behavior.
Exactly.
And nobody can fault you for that. And if anybody in your family or his family says, don't you think it's a little harsh that she doesn't get to go play with her friends tomorrow, or go out to some movie. No, these are the consequences, and she needs to learn consequences come with certain behaviors. You know, when you're great with your schoolwork and you make everyone happy and you get these wonderful gifts because you've been such a great person or people give you accolades, those are also consequences of your behavior. So it works either way. When you do things that could harm yourself or other people, you have to be disciplined. When you do things that make people feel better and you do well for yourself, then that's met with accolades and positive feedback, right?
Right, exactly.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So these are the conclusions I get the real strong impression you want to stick with. And I think you should stand up with that. You know, just make sure you explain, this isn't that I don't love you. It's because I love you that I want to make sure that you grow up and you understand there are consequences and there are rules. And when we step outside them, sometimes those consequences are not going to be things you like. If she doesn't learn that, her life is going to go south really quickly, especially if you're not around to pick up the pieces. Right?
Right. Well, we should definitely...
Lennis is definitely on point with how it's affecting your other relationships. But, you know, we always need to look at what's the real issue in any situation. And the real issue is, you're actually worried about what's going to happen to your daughter if she's going to continue to behave in this manner. Jails are full of people who were never told no, and they never learned consequences. And so are cemeteries, because it can be fatal when you just don't think. Let me give you a great example, and it's terrible, but you know the singer Aaliyah? Right. She refused to listen to the rules about what needed to be on that plane and the extra luggage and all that. And she didn't care because she was Aaliyah. She was going to do what she wanted. And that was one of the causes for that crash. All those people lost their lives, you know, because somebody just would not step up to the plate. I mean, not just her, the pilot and everyone else. So it doesn't seem like any big deal, but you never know when it's going to come back to bite you in a way that's more permanent. So love your daughter. Yes, forgive her, but, you know, give her the kind of love that's going to help her out in life. And release some of your – this stuff is locking you up. My guess is it's locking you up in so many ways that you're almost – you probably don't even think the way you normally think. Like, even problem solving, whether you're at home or work. For you to talk the way you're talking, you're almost starting to stutter. And I don't get the impression that that's your normal way of talking.
No, not for a long time.
Right. Honor yourself. This is the psychologist me talking. Honor yourself. And it will help everything else to start flowing more naturally.
well, back natural, because a couple of years ago I was on a soul journey. I was getting more creative and more in tune with, you know, the elements, the earth, trees. I communicate with trees and
clouds.
Now I lost it. I don't know where. This was just a couple of years ago. I don't know what happened, where it went. I'm kind of closed off. I'm not in tune like I used to be anymore.
When did you stop loving you?
Well,
so, Nia, when did you stop loving you? Because that's when you stopped doing those things.
Right. Well, I think, I stopped loving me. It's that my family and my immediate family, the families, the families on the outskirts, of course, you know, mom, grandmother, you know, it wasn't easy, acceptable.
Okay.
I didn't hear that.
Well, she's saying other members of her family didn't make that always accessible. When I say that you have to love yourself, that's totally and unconditionally. I don't care your daughter, mother, father, sister, brother, husband. Love you totally and unconditionally. Forgive you totally and unconditionally. And thank God or whoever, the universe, Muhammad, whoever you believe in, totally and unconditionally. You should do that every day. To get your strength and your courage back. You got to go back to loving you. When you were loving you, things were just happening all around you. But you let other people's words get in the way, as Brenda said, block and stop you. When actually all that's important is how you feel about Sania, not anybody else. Because when you're happy, other people will be happy around you. When you love you, other people will love you around you. You know, and don't think that you don't deserve things. Tell yourself, I deserve this, I deserve that. Okay? I can tell by your spirit. You like Brenda said, you're kind of broken and blocked. Love yourself. Make yourself happy. You know, when you love you, you can't love anybody else or correct them until you start with me, with yourself. Yeah. You were there once, you can go back again.
Yeah.
Go back to loving you. You're number one. You're number one, and everything else is number two. But once you're happy and you love you, you surely can make changes around you.
You know, you can do an activity that Lennis and I often do to help us ground, help us to reconnect and ground out, you know, energies that come our way or when we're out of balance. We actually walk outside. You know, go outside either in the grass or the park, go to a park, somewhere with big trees. I don't know if you're near trees, whatever, but where you can get near a tree and you can either just, it sounds silly, you either hug the tree or you just put your hands on the tree with your shoes off, and it helps to cycle out the energy. It's almost like a cleansing of your energy. Or how do you do it, Lennis? That's pretty close, right?
I just go out and walk on the ground, put my
feet
in the grass or the dirt, and ground myself to the earth.
Yeah, I like to touch the trees. I feel like there's a
well,
a
she's
strong
into the trees,
pool.
So the trees are probably quite beneficial for her. Yeah.
We have a nature. It's a nature preserve. It's an old Indian ground that's been preserved. It's a lot of old. A lot of old trees, real tall and real thick trunks.
Oh, yeah.
I used to take my children there, and you know, I haven't took them in a couple of years, and that's probably because we used to go every spring and every fall. And
if you can get a chance, even just yourself, to try to get there and just, you don't have to stand around for hours, just, because I'd imagine that it's getting cooler.
Yeah.
But it's another way to sort of ground out, especially when your energy is getting sort of frenetic and frayed.
Right.
Yeah. And, of course, like Lennis says, connect to your spirit and yourself, your love. think about the brilliance that is in you. You were born with it. It's there. And connect to those talents and those skills that are you. Be true to yourself, to thine own self be true.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't mean that you start kicking everybody around or anything, but just get still and get into the peace and rhythm of yourself. Really, you can do this. You know how to do this.
Right.
And then just the next time somebody comes to you with some situation and you immediately want to get bothered or get upset or just be stressed, just stop for a second. You know, even if you have to say, hold on, I'll be right back. Go into another room. Start talking to yourself like, let's just think of the best way for the situation to be dealt with. And, you know, remember the love. And remember that you want the best for everybody. And then you can go back into the other room and say, let's try to work this out. And that puts you on the team side, right? We're going to work it out together.
Right.
So that people aren't pushing you into these reactive modes.
Right. Exactly. Because then I'll cut myself off.
Right. Brilliant. You totally understand what we're talking about. And you see, do you see how much calmer and how your flow of speaking is getting now, Sonia?
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Okay. You can do this. You're there. You got that in you. You got that spiritual thing going. You go right, go with that.
Okay, well, thank you, Sonia, for calling us today.
I know, but I don't want
able
to hold the radio, I mean the line, but I just had one more question about the 11. I've been seeing the 11 since 2011.
You know the 11 is God's number, right? Isn't it? Well, Brenda, you're the one with numbers. What does 11
mean?
9
is 11, the 11? Number of Jesus.
Huh?
11 is a master number.
Right.
But she
right.
said 2011. What is it? What was that number for?
No, she said she's been seeing 1111 since 2011. So she wants to understand why does she keep seeing 1111. When I see 1111, it means that God is in my presence and I need to ask for what I want.
Mm. Well, 11, it's interesting that you're saying you've seen 1111 and just in relation to this entire reading that we're getting off of you. 11 actually reduces to the number 2. 2 is the number for cooperation. It generally is the number synonymous with the feminine energy or having to do with other women in some manner. So if you're seeing 11-11, two master numbers is a real strong energies, that's like it's like more than double for the energy of sort of 2. So there's a lot of feminine or women that are involved with you or affecting you. I'm not sure when your daughter was born or how old she is, but 2011, there's probably a big change in relationships for you in relation to women, and cooperation. It's also telling you that you need to be more in a cooperative mode. And I don't know if you used to be more independent, and now it's like it's telling you to cooperate, the universe telling you to cooperate more. But I'm getting the sense that you just didn't understand that cooperation didn't mean giving yourself away. It means working with other people or trying to work with other people. So even if you were to do 11-11, that totally is going to reduce down to a 4, and that tends to be about stability and work, your household structures, you know, the foundation of things. So if I were to just, and this is without any other kind of numerological stuff, I would say this is about the foundation and the structure of your life and how you work with other people. And you need to be more cooperative, a little less independent, but that means you need to really pay attention to your needs. Because if you know that and you know you're meeting that, then it's easier to cooperatively work with other people because you know where you stand. And then they know where you stand. So some people think cooperation means that, you know, you have no more say. That is completely not true. It means that you have a say and you're choosing to compromise. But like they say, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, right?
Right.
Does that help you out at all? Because that is...
Yeah. So I would definitely call back in on the next show.
Okay.
And, I'm going to do some, you know, soul enlightenment. And I'll, you know, thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you to both of you guys.
Oh, you're
welcome,
love.
Sweetie.
Wonderful day.
You
okay.
Too.
Bye-bye. Okay, well, at this time, we don't have any other callers, Brenda. So, you know, we wanted to talk about, I mean, if callers come in, we'll stop and do the reading. But we wanted to talk about on the show about paranormal experiences. So if anyone, and you can still call in, that phone number is 646-727-2914 for a reading. But also call in if you've had any paranormal experiences that are kind of weird, whether you saw a ghost or you felt somebody tapping you or you felt a cool breeze by you on a hot day. Call in and let us know what your experiences are. We will do another show by the end of the month, of course, right before Halloween, on paranormal experiences. So with that, Brenda,
yeah, let's talk about some paranormal stuff. We've had a lot of experiences.
I know.
And listen, you don't have to be a medium or a psychic or a sensitive or any of those things to have paranormal experiences. You might see or feel things a little more than people who are sort of disconnected from themselves, but there's a lot out there in the world that's around us that's seen and unseen.
Yes. I mean, we have the crop circles. That's one of the seen things. And the unseen is what them trying to say, hey, I think I saw a flying saucer.
Yeah. And no, I don't doubt it. There's a lot of things out there. There's a lot. And I believe that with more shows out there paying attention to all this, there's a lot more that people are willing to come forward with that of their experiences. And I believe they've probably had a lot of experiences out there, but people were afraid to share.
True. And, you know, we can discuss some of those experiences, like, if you have a weird feeling or whatever around you and you wonder what that is. You know, or what else can I say? Feeling a cold breeze pass you is a spirit that's passing by. If anybody's ever experienced that. Also, in your dreams, sometimes you can have some really fantastic dreams where it can be in that realm of the unknown.
Yep. People often have prophetic dreams, and people often have just nonsensical stuff that your mind's processing the day's previous day or previous work stuff. So you don't need to read into everything, but there are distinct experiences. We've had a lot of dream discussions, and I just cautionary don't. Just because in your dream that you were kissing your boss doesn't mean to go start an affair with him. Things aren't always exactly as they appear in dreams. Sometimes they're quite symbolic. And it's not so much that you're supposed to be kissing your boss as much as you're starting to let your defenses down, that you actually feel better about your boss, whereas before you maybe didn't care for them. There's all kinds of things that it could mean.
I've had a few experiences
with my grandmother on my paternal side, and it was the middle summer. It was really warm. It was really hot, and I was speaking to a friend, and then all of a sudden my shoulders, not my legs, not my head, just right up my shoulders, just freezing. And it stopped my conversation. What the heck is going on? And I got really quiet. I thought, well, who is it? And then I thought, okay, it's kind of going away. And the next day, same thing. It was during the middle of summer, and I just thought, who is it? And I looked to the left, and one of the things that stood out was a mug that was my uncle's. My dad's brothers and my uncle was, it was a mug that my grandmother had kept, and she put a tape on it and nobody used it because it was my uncle's. And then I realized who it was. It was one of those things that my grandmother would do, touch your shoulders. And I thought, she must be concerned about my dad who was still alive. And so I promptly called him the next day and to make sure he was okay, and I told my grandmother, just speak to your spirits. Dad's okay. He's all right. And you think to yourself, couldn't she have just gone to see Dad? But this is the way things are. Sometimes it's because you're more open to the energy. And
right.
So spirits will try to talk to you, just like they'll try to talk to you about, it could be a spirit from down the street, somebody who you don't even know. And pretty soon your paths cross and you begin to realize why something happened. But after I told my grandmother Dad was okay, he's all right, then it stopped. But it was either 2 or 3 days in a row. It was creepy, yes. I do get psychic impressions, but I still get the creeps like everyone else.
Yeah.
Lettuce doesn't. She should, but
well,
she doesn't.
I feel a lot. I wanted to tell a real quick story. When my father passed, that night I was asleep, because Brenda, this also has to do with dreaming, of course. But
yes.
Anyway, I met him on the other side, and I was standing up on the stairs looking down at him and telling him, come on up, you know. Well, in the meantime, I'm seeing Uncle CJ and other relatives. I'm hugging and kissing him. How you doing? What's going on? And finally, Daddy does come up the stairs. Well, when he comes up, then I come back down to the main room. Well, I went through these rooms where there were pianos. Now, I love to play the piano, and it was pianos and flowers, pianos and flowers. And as this, there was a woman that was heavyset and had long hair and a full face, and I didn't know who she was, but anyway, she had my hand guiding me around this room. And finally, we ended up at a sewing machine. Now, at the time that my father had passed, one of my real closest friends, her and I did clothing designs. I designed and she was the seamstress. So anyway, when this woman took me to the sewing machine, I'm thinking, oh, wow. My thought was, wow, me and Brenda are going to be famous. We're going to be clothing designers, blah, 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 and all this. Well, as the sewing machine started with the pieces of soap, then I woke up. So I relate. I'm sorry?
That's Brenda, her best friend. Not this Brenda.
Oh, yeah,
we have the
I'm
same
sorry.
Name,
yes,
but she's
not,
talking about
not,
a different Brenda, everybody.
Yeah, this is, because this is years ago. She's
yeah.
But anyway, so I related this to Mother and Aunt May Easter, one of Daddy's sisters, you know, about the dream. Well, they both of their mouths dropped down, because when I explained the dream and described this woman, they told me that that was my grandmother, and she never saw me. The last child of Daddy's that she saw was my oldest brother. and then she passed. So how would I know this woman? But she was the one, as Brenda said, you never know who the spirit may be, but she was the one guiding me through this home of pianos and flowers around to the sewing machine. So at that time, like I said, my mind, of course, my mother and my aunt were like, wow, you know, how could I have described grandmother number, never have seen this woman. I want to get back to my thought. So anyway, you don't know what spirit is going to come to you and what that dream may mean. So for me, like I said, I thought me and Brenda is big time. We're going to, you know, do this and that. Well, actually, she put me at the sewing machine to show me. I realized this, of course, quite later. And the patterns were my life, to start sewing my life together piece by piece till it all comes together as one. And there is no separation. So that was my dream or vision when my father died. So that was, I do have this thing that I can tell when relatives are getting ready to die, because I'll see it 6 to 9 months in advance of it happening. I had a dream and I knew my father was going to die because he was at a wedding. We were all at a wedding. Now, when you dream of a wedding, that means death. That somebody is getting ready to pass over. And it was so many people there at this wedding. I mean, we had a good time and stuff, but that's where I saw Daddy. Well, of course, 12 months later, he did pass. So, yeah. So, you know, dreams can be prolific, but you have to understand what the dream is. And let me just tell folks a little bit about me, too. I also interpret dreams. Brenda will tell you that I can interpret dreams. I also can tell you who your angels are that are around you right now that are guiding and protecting you. I can tell you about your past life. Who were you in your past life? And compared to in this life, maybe where you were sister and brother in past life, you might have been husband and wife or neighbors together, what have you. But anyway, I do tell you about your past life. I also do psychometry. If you have objects now, psychometry reading, you have to be here in my presence. I don't care if it's a watch, a wedding ring, or whatever, but I can hold an object and give you a reading. I'm also a visionary, and I also do Chinese tarot as regular tarot readings. Now, when I do those, of course, you have to be here in my presence, and I tape those sessions. They're hour sessions, and I tape them so that you can go back and see how accurate I am when I've done the reading for you. So just to let you know, those are a few services that I offer and that I do. You would need to go to my website, theessenceofsuccess.com, to set up a physical reading, or to go to theessenceofsuccess.com and go into the intuitive reading over the phone to your discretion. So, And Brenda is really good. Brenda's my numerologist when I need numbers like moving or want to know why I'm seeing certain numbers or stuff. Brenda's very good about that. Besides being a psychologist, she's a good numerologist. So just to let you know, and I will hook you up with Brenda as with me. You know what the cost, pain free. So when she does her numerology, read the call.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Well.
Now let me see what else. This guy, we're in the Halloween. Haunted houses are all over the place.
Oh my goodness.
I grew up in a house that was haunted because it was two sisters that owned the house before mother and daddy. I believe one of them passed there. But every now and then, I could feel the presence of somebody coming through. So I think she was still around in the house. So to me, I think I grew up with a ghost in the house anyway. You know, she never bothered us.
It's so interesting that you would say that, because my sister and I, when we were young and we stayed in that, we go visit our grandmother and all of us kids, my two brothers and I would go visit, and we would spend the weekend with our grandmother. And the one room, which actually turned out to be, I found out later, was Lennis's room. The one room that we all didn't want to stay in was that room. I didn't know it when I was a little kid that that was your room, because you had moved out and was married and everything, but
yeah.
Oh man, at night we were so afraid to go to sleep in that room. And when we would try to play hide and seek, the last place you wanted to be stuck was in that closet. There was something about that closet. And I got stuck in there one time, and I thought literally any second something was just going to grab me and kill me. The feeling was so oppressive and terrifying. And I remember the window. There's a window in that closet, wasn't there? There's a
no,
window in that closet,
I was in
which
my
is
marina.
Weird. This is a
that
really
was...
old house, people. You know, the old houses where you have the old wood. All the closets were made out of, were paneled in wood, just beautiful wood, lacquered and all that. But that room, it just trying to get to sleep, it was almost like you couldn't. And then when you did get to sleep, the worst thing that could happen is that you wake up in the middle of the night. But that it was always that closet. And I know we're children, we're afraid of things, but I never went to a closet where I felt like something was going to get me, like that closet. And it had a window. It wasn't all dark. It actually had a window that faced out to the street, so there was daylight. During the
yep.
day, it was cold
it was...
and creepy.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh. I
oh,
cannot
and
imagine.
Let me also, we should say this too, Brenda. When you go house shopping, I also offer the service. I will come to the house and check it out and let you know if that house is haunted or not. So I also offer that service for anyone. If you're in the process of buying a home or, you know, even moving into an apartment, because sometimes you can move into an apartment where there had been a tragic accident. Maybe somebody got murdered, they got raped, or, you know, maybe died of natural causes. It could have been just that, too. But I am available, you know, to go out and do that and check your house out and see if there's anybody there. There was a friend of mine, Billy and her husband, Bourne, they wanted me to come to their house because their grandchildren would be playing upstairs with some little girl. And they didn't know who it was or where the kids just kind of, you know, make up friends, you know, a little kid. And so I went up there, and it was a little girl. And she had died many, many, many years ago, like maybe when the house was first built or something. But anyway, she was very playful, and she was glad that there were other girls, you know, little girls there for her to play with. And she never harmed them or anything. She just wanted somebody to play with. And after a while, she left. She went home, wherever that was. But her little spirit left. Yeah, she would play with the girls, but it was just disturbing to the grandmother because she's like, hey, there's only two kids up there. Who are they talking to? You know, I'm playing with. You know. Now, I'm not saying all spirits are nice like that. Some can be demonic or evil, but sometimes there's good spirits and they just don't know that they've passed and to move on toward the light, and so they're still there in the same thing thinking, you know, what's going on? There's another family in here. Where's my family? You know, why am I still here? So.
Right. Yeah, mm-hmm. And they can be, they're nonetheless can be just as frightening. It's it mostly, the way I look at it, it's kind of like when you go to reach into a sink and all of a sudden you realize there's a big eight-legged furry creature in there. It startles you. That's, for me, that's the big thing that gives me the creeps, is when I don't expect something.
Mm-hmm.
And I regularly just tell, you know, whatever's on the other side, listen, just, you know, you can hang around all you want to, but don't surprise me. So,
yeah.
Kind of things. I mean, you.
They do happen. I was just telling Brenda, I know we got about 5 minutes left, but I was just telling Brenda the other night that my cat was on the bed looking down on the floor. He wouldn't go down on the floor, but he's just looking like as though something was around him. So I thought, well, maybe it's a spider, and I pulled up my comforter and stuff and looked under the bed, but there was nothing there. So still, he wouldn't get off the bed. He just was on the corner looking down like he saw something. So I felt it was a little fairies, because sometimes we do have little fairies around us, and they're frolicky, they're fun, and they're mischievous. you know, they're like little kids. They just want to have fun. They're not there to cause you harm. Sometimes they'll even misplace stuff that you know you put down, and then you find it in another room. Like, how did that get there? And it's just a little fairies. Well, anyway, I told them they had to leave. They were driving my cat crazy, and I just talked to them like I talked to anybody else. And I just told them, you have to leave. You're not welcome. Leave my cat alone. Go home. Go home and come back another day and play with him. And so evidently they left, because after a while he jumped off the bed and he just walked around like he does normally around the house. So.
Oh, boy. If you have animals, they will certainly alert you to what's around that you cannot see.
Right.
Yeah.
This is true.
Yes.
This is so true. Yes, yeah. Indeed. Well, we're coming to the close of the hour. We'd like to thank everybody that called in today. We hope Brenda and I have brought you some solutions or understanding to, you know, whatever that you were concerned about. Also, I'll be on next Wednesday, as always, from 3 to 4 in the studio with Lennis and Brenda for psychic readings. Now, in November, I'll be coming back with my Sunday show. For all y'all that have been missing me on Sunday, I stayed off for probably about four or five months. So Sunday show will return again in November, and that'll be from 4 to 5 o'clock. I might back that up to 3, though. So I'll see. I mean, I got a couple of weeks here to decide, but I might back it up to 3 o'clock when I start Sundays again, just because it's during the football season and I'm coming back on, and I know the old adage, when I do it from 4 to 5, the 5 o'clock game comes on, so people like 4:30 start to ease away from the show to get ready for the football game, so I might do it a little bit earlier. And also, I want to remind everybody, on Tuesday at 9 a.m., Brenda Show, Bring Your Own Brilliance. So be sure and tune in at 9 on blogtalkradio.com. And with that, I am going to close the show out. I thank you. I always say, if you can't grow with me, you can't go with me. But I just would like to say, be sure and say please and thank you, and give somebody a hug this week. You'd be surprised what a hug can do, and a smile on your face is worth $1 million, because we all smile in the same language. Brenda, was there anything you wanted to
say? Yeah, and I'd just like to point out, you know, thanks to Sania, she brought up a really great point. Everybody, be to thine own self, be true. It's important to do that.
Amen.
Take care, everybody.
That's right. We love you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.